Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 20. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do you think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets? I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfil them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven.
A very warm welcome. Great to have you with us, particularly if you're a guest with us here this morning. We've got a great passage to be looking at, and so let's pray now before we take a look at
that passage. It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet.
Father God, thank you so much for this time together this morning where we can come to this amazing talk or message that Jesus gives to his disciples on the Sermon on the Mount.
In the same way, let your light shine.
And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to take these words on board in our hearts and minds and to put them into our lives. So we pray for your help as we do that here this morning. In your name, Lord
Jesus.
Truly
I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away,
great stuff. So I wonder if you're joining us here this morning and maybe you would call yourself a Christian and you're watching our church service, checking it out, seeing what church is all about and maybe seeing what Christianity is all about. And maybe you've been following us for a number of weeks now and it's been great to have you with us. You've been able to check it all out without even having to leave your sofa. So it's been super easy for you. But I wonder maybe if you had a Christian friend or if you have a Christian friend, I wonder if either of these two positions would sum up your opinion or your thoughts about that Christian. Maybe that Christian is a work colleague and you're thinking, what's the point of actually being a Christian? The Christian in your office seems no different, really. You know, they have the same lifestyle as you. You know, they get involved with all the gossip. They get involved with all the chat and the banter, maybe a few words that are not great. They get involved with all the drinking, the rounds, round after round on a Friday after work. Like the rest of us, there's no difference. In fact, you've known them for quite a while, quite a few months, and actually you only found out they're a Christian from someone else who said that they go to church. Or maybe you do know a Christian. She is really normal, fun to be around, and yet there is something different about her. She sometimes brings up in conversation faith, but it's always in a really kind of normal and relaxed context. But more than that, she isn't afraid to stand out from the crowd when there's something that she doesn't quite agree with or believe in. And she doesn't do it in a brash, arrogant way. They really do walk the talk. Their faith is serious to them, and it's not just a private affair. Well, Jesus has a message for your Christian friends here this morning. See, the context here is Jesus has just explained what the hallmarks of a Christian are last week in the Beatitudes. What does a Christian life look like? We saw that a Christian is poor in spirit, mourning sin, being meek, hunger and thirsting for righteousness, pure in spirit, peacemaker, merciful. When we live this way, it will at different points go against the grain of the world around us. That's what Jesus was saying. And so the temptation, Jesus knows, is that we don't stand out. We don't speak out. We go along with the flow. So Jesus knows that it's vital that these two metaphors, salt and light, follow this. Because he knows the temptation in our hearts is to go, nah, as Christians, we think it's not for me. You know, I'm a Christian, yeah, but it's much easier to just blend in with the world around me. And so Jesus gives us these two analogies, salt and light. So let's dig into the passage. If you've got a Bible there with you, it'd be great for you to keep it open on this passage. We're looking at Matthew 5, verses 13 onwards. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house." You see, in both these metaphors, salt and light, the premise that Jesus is building on here is that as Christians, with Christ in our lives, we are distinctive and different to the world around us. The church is different to the world around them. The difference is not morality. We're not more moral people than the world around us. We're not more morally superior. Actually, the opposite. We learnt last week that actually Christians are those that are recognised that we're poor in spirit. In other words, we're spiritually poor before God. Morally, actually, we aren't great. And so that is where the Christian comes to and realises actually we need Jesus' help. And Jesus comes into the Christian's life by the Holy Spirit to help us be holy. And so the difference is Jesus in the Christian's life, not our moral superiority. And if you're a guest with us, you need to hear that. If a Christian has ever made out that they're more superior and better than you, that is the wrong Christianity. That is not the gospel of Christianity. The Christian is different because of what Jesus has done for them. And that is the premise that Jesus is building this metaphor, these metaphors of salt and light on. But Jesus uses the metaphors to help us see that it is from a position of distinction and difference that we are to bring influence and a positive impact on the world around us. Let's have a look. Salt had two purposes in the Middle East in the first century. They didn't have refrigerators, sadly, and so how could they keep their food and their meat particularly fresh? Well, they would put salt on it. They would rub salt into the meat, and that would keep it, preserve it. But like nowadays, secondly, salt also added flavour, enhanced the flavour of the food they were eating. So what's Jesus saying here with this analogy and this metaphor? Well, as Christians, we should have a preserving impact and influence on a world that is decaying, a world that is like meat without salt. And flavour, Christians should be standing out as those that add flavour to life. Christians who have Jesus in the life are able to show life to the full, life with full flavour in it. It should be a favourable taste to life, to the Christian and to those around them. Light, how does Jesus use the light metaphor? He's saying that Jesus in our life should be a light to the world around us, a light shining into the darkness. A world that does not know Jesus and the life he brings should be illuminated by our lives. See, as a church, we are to be a city on a hill, Jesus says. A city on a hill is not just an individual, it's a collective. And that's how we see our witness as Christians is not just individual, but also it's a collective thing. And so every time we come together as Christians here, one day, hopefully, we will be able to do that pretty soon. Or whether it's online, on Facebook, where we can see the counter of how many people are watching. Whether it's children's church or happy hour, whenever we're coming together, Christians are being a light and salt to the world around them. And so I want to thank you, if you're part of the church and maybe a guest of the church, but you've been getting involved, thank you for being part of what we've been doing over the last 2 or 3 months, sticking with us. It's not easy. It's not perfect. Happy Hour and Children's Church, we've tried to do in a way that is authentic to what we'd normally do and fitting into everyone's schedules. But thank you for sticking with us and coming along. Every time you are with us online, it is a great encouragement. It is salt and light to the world around us. But the metaphors Jesus gives us here are really simple, and he plays on these. There's nothing more complex to them. If you think about it, he says salt is not salty, or rather salt that becomes not salty is useless. Light that is hidden is useless. That's common sense, isn't it? If you light a light, you don't put a blanket over it. You don't put a blanket over a candle. In other words, Jesus is saying, Christians, are your Christian lives having effect of salt and light on the world around you? Are the people in your life seeing your life and saying, yes, that is a life that resembles God? And they're looking to you and thinking, wow, what a great God this person believes in. Well, let's dig into this a bit deeper. And there's two clear applications I want us to think about. And I've mentioned these words already. Distinctiveness and influence. Distinctiveness and influence. So distinctiveness, Jesus is saying salt and light are distinctive. The salt must retain its saltiness, Jesus says. It must not become contaminated. The light must retain its brightness. It must not be smothered by darkness. See, salt could lose its saltiness when it's contaminated or mixed with water or rainwater, and it could lose its saltiness. In other words, mixing with the world. When we mix with the world, we will lose our saltiness. The rabbis of the day, which were like Jewish teachers, Jesus was kind of known to his disciples as a rabbi who would teach a number of people around them. The rabbis of the days would say that, use the phrase salt losing its saltiness as a way of explaining, another way of saying, becoming foolish. Becoming foolish by mixing and being contaminated by the world around them. And this is the temptation to lose our saltiness, to blend with the world. In the same way, when it comes to the light, our light should be shining brightly. It should be distinctive as light is to darkness. Does your life look any different to the world around you? Do your words and actions stand out in such a way that the people around you say, that is a Christian, and that is a Christian that has been authentic to what the Bible shows and authentic to the person they follow, Jesus Christ? But we are not just to be different, to be holy and set apart, a holy huddle, to cut ourselves off socially from the world around us. Jesus is saying that we are to take that distinctiveness to show it and influence the world around us. Verse 16, read with me, says this, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. There's a common phrase you may have heard of, in the world, but not of the world. In the world, but not of the world. It's a popular phrase in Christian circles, useful in some ways, and we'll come back to this actually in a moment, but this is the direction Jesus is going in, from distinction to influence. Like salt is added to meat to preserve and bring flavor, Christians are to hinder social decay and bring life, flavor to life. Like light in the prevailing darkness, Christians are to illumine society and show it a better way. William Wilberforce, what a great example of this. The Christian politician who shone the light of his faith in Jesus into the dark corners of African slavery in the 18th century and brought about the Slavery Abolition Act in 1833. Salt and light, standing out for what he believed in, mocked by many around him, but yet resolved to shine the light into this dark society, societal norm, and ultimately to stop this decay on humanity in this way. Do you see what he did with his faith there? He was stopping that decay in society. You may think, listening here this morning, there isn't decay in society. Well, that is an example of a decay in society. I wonder what decays in society we have now. Societal norms. There's much happening in the news at the moment, which maybe we as Christians need to have an influence on. Now, I don't know about you, but I love salt. You know, most meals that I have will have quite a good salt, dosage of salt on them, much to Sarah's disgust. But I can say that actually it's Celtic sea salt, so it's healthy, so it's good for you, right? But anyway, it tastes good, okay? It makes really good food that's already tasting good taste even better. I'm drawn to it. Light, growing up, I used to just go into my house at night and I used to turn on all the lights. And I would go from room to room and I wouldn't turn them off. I just didn't really like the light, the darkness, so I just turn on all the lights. And it would drive my mum mad. She'd say, can you please turn the lights off when you go from one room to the next? But that's the thing. Salt draws people in. Light has this effect of lighting up the place that we're in. It draws people in. When people see Jesus in your life, it will draw people in. They will see the one who brings flavor to life and ultimately preserving life to eternal life. We should not be shy about our faith. We should be outward about our faith. It should not be a private faith. Wilf, our three-year-old boy, showed us how to do it this last week. We were with our neighbours for a barbecue last weekend, and we were just sitting down, getting our food sorted, and just about to tuck in. We were chatting away, and Wilf suddenly said, but we haven't said grace yet. And I'm not sure our neighbours actually heard, because we were chatting away, or if they did hear, they're very gracious and didn't make a scene of it. But Sarah quickly prayed with Wilf. Wilf was just doing what was natural to him, giving thanks to God for the food that he had. He doesn't need to hide that. He doesn't need to be ashamed of it. He was just doing what was natural to him. Now, I don't know about you, but my fear actually is that my life doesn't really look much different often. It doesn't look very similar to the Beatitudes. And when it might look a bit different, or there's a situation where I should really be acting or speaking in a different way, I stay quiet. I lose my saltiness and I hide the light and keep it to myself. I have Jesus in my life. Yeah, I'm a Christian. But Jesus is not saying that we're not going to be Christians here if we lose our saltiness and cover the light. But he is saying that our use as a salt preserving, light-giving, life-giving follower of Jesus has gone. Instead of being poor in spirit, we fill ourselves with pride before God and man. Instead of mourning sin, we become numb to sin and just accept it. Instead of being meek, we become brash or maybe a bit opinionated and independent of God. Instead of being merciful, we become unmerciful and unforgiving. Instead of guarding the purity of our heart, we become more liberal with the things we say, do, watch, and follow. To the point we blend in with the world around us. Persecuted, Jesus said last week. Persecuted. The Christian is persecuted. Why would we ever be persecuted? Our lives have blended in so well with the world around us, we've managed to avoid any social awkwardness, let alone actual persecution. Apathy, lukewarm. That's the church that's described, one of the churches that's described in Revelation, isn't it? Not hot, not cold, lukewarm. Drift along with the world around us, having no effect on it. Pretty low. Salt trampled under people's feet. That phrase, in the world but not of the world. Yes, we may be in the world, but I've also become of the world. But there is good news in the words Jesus brings to us. Look down at verses 13 and 14. See how they start here. Jesus says, verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. It doesn't say you need to be a bit saltier or you need to try and be a bit brighter. It says you are salt, you are light. In other words, Jesus is saying our identity is salt and light. It's not saying we need to muster up a bit more inner strength to try and be a bit kinder, a bit more generous, try and be a bit more forgiving and a bit purer. See, it's not behaving in a way that is trying to achieve an identity, a Christian. Rather, It's out of identity, being a Christian, having Jesus in our life, out of that identity that we behave, not the other way around. Our identity, Jesus. See, when we are poor in spirit, Jesus fills that poverty and makes it rich. So a better way to put that common phrase that we often say as Christians would be not of, but sent into. Not of the world, different, distinct from the world because God has made us holy through Jesus, but sent into to make a difference, to be the William Wilberforce in our world. That makes the world a difference, doesn't it? What assurance and confidence that gives us. See, when we have Jesus in our hearts, his mourning of sin becomes our mourning of sin. His meekness becomes meekness in us. His righteousness becomes our righteousness. His mercy becomes our mercy. You get my point. And this is the salt and light that will make an impact on the world around you. See, when we understand this, verse 16 will happen. Verse 16 says this, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." When this happens, hopefully your friends might say this, any number of these comments. There was just something about them that was different. Or maybe your friend might say about your life, despite the terrible circumstances we are in, they just seem to have a peace about them. Or they might say, wow, they were really treated unfairly, but they didn't moan and complain and fight back. How did they do that? Or they might say about you as a Christian, everyone that I speak to who knows them, they say the same thing. They always have time for you. Or I know generally what Christians believe about certain ethics in life, but whilst this Christian doesn't deny these, they gently try and explain what actually Christianity is about, what Jesus is about. And it's really hard to argue with Jesus. Or lastly, they might say, yeah, so-and-so, I know he's a Christian. He's always there with the lads. He's always there on a night out with the lads. He's committed to our friendships. He might have a beer or maybe two, but by round three, he said, that's enough. I've had enough. I'll have a soft drink, thanks. I'll stay here with you, but I'll have a soft drink. Not in a judgmental way, but because he just has this contentment about him, this grounding to him. All these things have beatitude living all over them. What picture of Christianity or church are you portraying? What are you depending on in your Christian witness to be salty and light to those around you? See, I think we can often fall into the trap of thinking we as individuals need to be the light first. We need to shine the light of our lives first. And what I mean by that is we need to get a bit of street cred first, a bit of respect. We need to be popular. We need to be liked. Maybe we need to be successful. Then maybe people will be interested in my life. Then people will be interested in Jesus. And I reckon this is why, because we put this first, we so often avoid any social awkwardness. We don't want to go against the grain. We don't want to go against the flow of the river. Now, I don't mean to downplay your amazing attributes as a person, your unique personality, but... by far and away, the most interesting thing in your life is Jesus. Bit of a blow, isn't it? The most interesting thing in your life is Jesus. Now, if you do have great attributes, a fantastic personality, talented, don't get me wrong, many of these are wonderful gifts from God, and we shouldn't be dry as Christians. We shouldn't be personality-less. We should enjoy those personalities with good, godly character. But let's not be thinking these are what make us salty and different and attractive as Christians. Ultimately, I reckon they struggle, our attributes as good as they are, they will struggle to compete with the God of the universe coming into the world, performing many miracles, dying on the cross and rising again from the dead 3 days later. Don't you reckon? That is interesting. That is interesting. Jesus and what Jesus has done and is doing in your life, wow, that is different. And I want to know more. And ultimately, instead of bringing or trying to bring glory to us, we will be bringing glory to God. In this lockdown season, it was interesting to see the range of responses from different people going into lockdown. And it's interesting to see the range of responses as we exit now. The extroverts are busybodies are buzzing. They can't wait to get out and get busy in life and to do lots of things and see lots of people. The introverts and homebirds are dreading it. Can't we just maybe hibernate for a few more weeks or months or years? This has been bliss this last 3 months. Well, whether you are an extrovert or an introvert or maybe a mixture of both, there is a call to make an influence and a difference in the world around you. Men, and this is a little message just for men, particular application. More than ever, we need to have men being salt and light to the world around them. Each day over the last number of weeks and months, every day I see probably another male friend doing the 25 and 25. You know what that is? That's 25 push-ups in 25 days. To raise awareness for men's mental health. The sad thing is there are many men being affected by the social fabric of the world. And it is having an effect on their lives. Suicide rates amongst men rising and rising. Many of these men desperately need salt and light in their lives to see the flavor and the eternal hope that Jesus brings to their lives. So in lockdown, the walls were up, the drawbridge was up in many ways. But will we lower the walls? Will we bring the drawbridge down? History has shown that after each world event, if you think about the American Civil War, the world wars in recent history, after each of these world events, there's been a growth or a spike in interest in religion and putting faith in a religion. And you can be sure that as we come out of COVID, the Mormons, who have had 3 months not been able to knock on doors, they will now be knocking on a lot of doors in the coming weeks and months, won't they? It's a war of attrition for them. If for every 100 doors that they knock on, they know they'll get one that shows interest. In this season, probably maybe more, as people are hungry and want to know more about what life's about. Well, maybe, of course, we have different maybe methods of how we pass on the message of the gospel to the world around us and the light and the salt of Jesus to the world around us. We have different methods to door knocking, maybe. And of course, our message and the truth of what we believe in is very different. We follow Jesus, the Son of God, who came into the world and died on the cross and rose again from the dead. That is our truth. We do not follow the heretical Joseph Smith. So we are wholly different to Mormons, but there is a challenge to have the same commitment and passion the Mormons show as we take salt and light to a world that needs it more than ever. But as we come now, close now, we do have this last passage. And this is a significant passage in the flow of this letter. Before we go to the next part of the coming weeks, this is a really important part that Jesus knows he needs to address. We read in verse 17, he says this, look down with me. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. See, it's at this point now the disciples may well have been thinking, right, okay, great. So we're meant to be salt and light, distinctive, different. 10 commandments. Let's live out those 10 commandments. That'll set us apart from the world around us. So Jesus in this section addresses this. The law, now that Jesus is here. What happened to the law? Verse 17, we see that the law still stands. Jesus has not come to abolish it. It still plays a role to show us God's expectations and ultimately our sin when we compare ourselves to these expectations. It's not to be abolished, but there is much more to the law than the 10 commandments we see here. Jesus will go on to give us the teaching on anger and lust and divorce and loving our enemies, etc. Jesus putting flesh on the bones of the Old Testament laws, or taking us to the heart of the Old Testament laws and not just the external behaviours. to help us have a fuller understanding of what God expects of us. So it's not just the letter of the law, but Jesus gives us the spirit of the law. And the two are inextricably linked. You can't have one without the other. That wouldn't make sense. But Jesus does go on to raise the bar here, and we will see that in the coming weeks. Verse 20, what does that mean? It says, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Well, what does this mean? Well, the scribes and Pharisees, they were living by the letter of the law. But true righteousness exceeds that because it's all about the spirit of the law as well. The Pharisees and the scribes, they weren't living by the spirit of the law. Jesus is painting a picture of what the perfect Christian looks like here. The Ten Commandments alone, would they be salt and light to the world around them? Well, there are many who in the world around us who don't commit adultery, they don't murder, they don't steal. In a very civilized British culture, this won't stand out. But what Jesus goes on to say, not lusting, but loving also those around them and praying for them. Wow, that is salty. That is salty loving. That is a light that would shine into a world where there is actually a lot of hate at the moment. And so Jesus helps us in the coming weeks. We will see Jesus helps us to understand the expected standards. And so as we go through this next few weeks, in many ways, it will bring us to a position where we will see that we are poor in spirit. The bar is raised so high that we think, I cannot achieve this. And so actually, this verse 20, we can't enter the kingdom of heaven by our own righteousness, but actually, we can by Jesus' righteousness. And so by the end of this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock. Chapter 7, verses 7 and 11. He says, ask, seek, and knock. If we come to Jesus with a poor spirit from the beginning of this Sermon on the Mount, and we ask, seek, and knock for his help to come into our lives, that is what makes us a Christian. That is what brings us into the kingdom of heaven. And when we have Jesus in our life, that is the true salt and light that the world is desperately in need of. I'd like us now just to take a moment, just for a minute, just to reflect on this, not to just move on. I want us to take a minute now. There'll be a picture that comes up. I want you just to reflect on this. Reflect on these words from Jesus and meditate them. Think about how they might impact your life. What difference do they make to your life? What is there that God or Jesus is challenging you on here? So let's take a minute now. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this time this morning where we have been able to engage with your teaching, to think about salt and light and what this means for the Christian who is trying to live the way you want us to live, to witness the way you want us to witness to the world around us. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand that our salt and light is you, Lord, in our lives. May we rest on that and may we live that out in the world around us. And we pray, Lord, that for any watching here this morning, they would see and recognize that salt and light, that actually only Jesus can bring that salt and light in life because he is the Son of God. So we pray for this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So we finish now by singing together.